You know, when God begins to impact your life, he does things differently than maybe you could perceive. And how many of you have a little strike of jealousy in you? Little piece. Okay. Well, I had a buddy of mine that I went to school with that cared about quite deeply. And he came to my house. He had, at the time, 4 children. We had 2. And he's all excited because he went to a Crisio movement. Okay? In the Catholic Church, they had a Crisio movement. And he's telling me and my wife what it was like. And he was so excited about what God was doing and in him. And I can remember driving home saying to my wife, I want to go. Okay? How many of you are familiar with West Springfield here? Okay, West Springfield. For 10 years in a row, I would take one weekend every spring. And I would leave on Friday afternoon and not come back until Sunday night. I just wanted to be alone. I wanted to connect with the Lord. I would go to the Passionist Retreat House. It was a place where I could reconnect with God and go deeper, okay? And so after my buddy told me about his experience, of course, I questioned because I'm nosy. That's a gift from God, right? Okay. Oh my God, they're not listening. Say it with me. Close your eyes. Say, it's good to be nosy.
It's good to be nosy.
For the things of God.
For the things of God.
You got to be so nosy that you won't give up until you get it.
Won't give up until you get it.
And you keep pounding on the door.
Until he opens it.
So be stubborn. And
tenacious.
Until you get the full treatment. Amen.
Amen.
So, I go to that retreat, and I'm excited, but I'm not, let's say, getting the answers that I want. I'm not satisfied with the depth of the development. Maybe that's the best word. And if you're wondering why I'm standing up, it's because I heard you better stand. So here I am. You know, God loves to throttle you and I in the moments that he's chosen, not the moments that I've chosen, but the moments he's chosen, and he pushes that accelerator all the way to the area where it says speed limit 65, you're going to go 90, you're going to go 100, because you want more. You're not happy with what they give you as a sign on the side of the road.
Amen.
All right? That's hunger that passes the normal. And that's what God is looking for. So you say, well, you know, I don't know. I should sit back and just rest. Have a party. I'm not jealous of you. You can go and rest and not do and not be hungry. And God will still love you. Okay? I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to let you know you have free will. Okay? John and I were talking about the Apostle John. He was the one that rested his head upon the chest of our Savior. He was the one that was close to his heart. He was the one that they couldn't kill. They tried, but they couldn't.
Sorry. Just had a mental image of, you know, put more wood on. He's still alive, but he just doesn't die.
Yeah, he wouldn't die. So, I find that God uses a buddy of mine from California who had been out there 10 years for me to get to the first prayer group where the Holy Spirit has invaded a Catholic church. And that was in 1977. One of the byproducts was we started a prayer group, and God had it set up. You know what I mean, a setup? Everything has been prepared before you get there. I had been voted in as the executive board chairman because somebody that I used to work for shoved me into that position thinking they would control me, but they didn't really know me. They thought they did, but they didn't. Because you know what? I can be sneaky too. I knew the game because you see, I was aware of what they were doing, but allowed it to continue because I kept praying, God, put me only where you want me. Even in that day, put me where you want me. By that time, I was a furniture dealer, so they respected me. I had a high position. The bottom line was, that way was God's, again, planting seeds for me to mature. You mature pretty fast when you, at 24, I believe, that we bought that whole business. But the bottom line, here's my buddy now, moving back in 77, and takes me to this service, and I kept him up until about 2 o'clock that morning because that meeting was so different, and it was anointed. And I've got my 16-year-old son that says to me, Dad, are you going to go up and get prayer? And my buddy's on the other side says, come on, Kim, let's do it. And my knees are shaking because this is strange, okay? Because, number one, if you belong to the Catholic Church in your background, or most churches, only the choir is qualified to sing. Well, here this was on a Wednesday night, and everybody in that church was singing, and the place was packed. There is no way, excuse the expression, but there's no way in hell that that happens in a Catholic church. It doesn't happen. It just was there. That was a testimony, okay? When the priest decided that he's going to take his bottle of oil, and he says, those of you who want to be anointed, some of the people in the back I heard were standing on the benches just to see what he was about to do. It was a demonstration of the Holy Ghost, okay? So I remember standing behind my buddy, because he's a little shorter than me, so he went first. I'm in the middle, and I can feel my knees buckling, and my son's behind me. You say, does he serve the Lord right now? No, at least not to my satisfaction. But you see, I'm not going to worry about that, because that's not my job. I'm not a savior.
That's right.
I'm not a healer. I can't do any of those things. And when God decides to pull him in, he ain't got a choice. Okay? He hasn't got a choice. He's going to be pulled in when God wants him. So anyway, long story, the following week, because now I want to understand that new language everybody's got. So he explained to me, and he showed me in my Bible, because I had been studying for 10 years. Okay, I said, I'm getting it, but I want it. And believe it or not, the following week I went back and I got my first four syllables. When he anointed me, my legs, I felt my legs turn into complete rubber bands. They didn't want to hold me anymore. So I knew it was something I could feel. I knew that God was touching me for his own purpose. But did I ever expect that I would be doing what I'm doing today? Absolutely not. Out of your tree, you would be. No way would I think, I'm not qualified. But God qualifies those that he chooses. Amen. He lifts up those that think they're nothing and makes them into something. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm waiting. So the bottom line, I got these four syllables bouncing out of my mouth. Abba-da-e. It was, and I got the interpretation, but nobody told me that you could get the interpretation. So as I'm saying it, I'm hearing, Daddy loves me. Well, that's total foreign language for me because the first father gave me away 3 times. And the second father turned into an alcoholic. So how can Daddy love me? See, reasoning took over. And reasoning I had plenty of. Why am I saying this to you? Because every single one of us has that quality of reasoning. And when we use it to download the transformation that God wants in every single one of us. You see, he wants you and I to be spirit beings living in an earth suit. That's what he wants. And he will get it. You know why? It doesn't happen because we're stubborn. And we compare ourselves with the others. And that should be done for you guys. That should be all done. Because the purposes of God are not going to be what your neighbor is.
That's right.
Okay? You two sisters can't be the same. Okay? You came from the same parents, but you're not supposed to be the same. You're supposed to complement each other. Okay? You see, I can't be like Peggy. Thank God she can't be like me. Got enough of one of me. Okay? But there's enough of one of her. And it's the same thing with John and Ann. Every single one of us has to be who we are and have been prepared by God, written in his book.
Amen.
Written in his book. You say, well, that's kind of strange. It is. But eventually you're going to get it. So now we start the prayer group. And one of the things that you do when you go to a Catholic church is you bless yourself with holy water. Mm-hmm. And we, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, I can remember as a young teenager, I was in Holy Ghost school in Vermont. And there was such a thing as a Holy Ghost school. And Holy Ghost teachers, they were from Connecticut. And they had taught us that you could be more than you could ever be, and a teacher came and gave us a weekend retreat in that Catholic church. And guess what he talked about? Yeah, the forgotten God. That was his title, the forgotten God. And I connected those dots when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. See, I got that, I understood it. So now we're going to use holy water to bless everything, because we're going to have our first meeting in the basement of the church. So I'm sprinkling holy water as I'm walking around, praying with my four syllables. It's all I got. But I'm going to use what I got.
Amen.
All right?
That's right.
As I'm doing that, all of a sudden I pray for somebody and I get this roses. Literally, the room. It felt, I was drunk, literally drunk. From the Holy Ghost. I could barely stand up. We went home. My wife says, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm not. And I don't want to change.
That's right.
Don't bug me. I like this. And so now, what am I saying to you? God is unique. He'll touch you the way he wants to touch you. Your job is to keep knocking. I don't know how else to say it. If you keep knocking and if you keep asking, you will receive. Okay? And you've got to be tenacious. Stubborn isn't really the right word. Tenacious is much better. It's sweeter, it's more ladylike, and it's more manly, if you wish. But, you know, I would not trade my background for any amount of money. Because what he did with me was the impossible. And, you know, we're going to be heading to 336 Springfield Street. Because the end result of that baptism was that I was brought by my wife and her girlfriend to this little tiny church in Forest Park. And I watched this Pastor Gino bless the people in that little chapel. It was a little tiny chapel. It was probably, four or five pews, and that was it. And that was my introduction to him. And I was overwhelmed. Why? Well, because that was the next level. That was word of knowledge. That was word of wisdom. That was revelation. That was prophetic. You see, the one in the Catholic Church was very beautiful in praying for the sick, but that's as far as he got. That was his gift. Was he limited? Yes, because of the war that was done against him. Because they already had one that had an anointing of healing. That was Father Diorio. I went to some of his meetings. They were down in Worcester. He was known nationwide. He's still alive, by the way. I understand he's retired and he's in his 90s. But he had an impact in the Catholic Church that changed New England. To the degree, how many have ever heard of Father? You're the only one?
No,
you did.
I heard of him.
Okay. Did you ever go to any of his services?
I did not. No.
I went to plenty. So now I'm going to give you a story that is a true story about one of the buddies that Father Diorio was to be a ordained priest from the Chicago area. I'm not sure exactly what you would call it, the particular school that it was in. And when he was ordained, his friend, his best friend, that went to college with him, and ministry school, if you wish, just before he was to be ordained as a priest, fell in love with this young lady, and they had a little child together. So his ministry stopped when he fell in love. And so when the baby was born, which I don't know how many years were involved, this child came and was mongoloid. So this priest, because of his Catholic background, or should have been a priest, decided that it was hopeless. So he decided that he was going to move because, see, now he's on a guilt trip. He should have been a priest. He should have never married the girl he fell in love with. That's why he got the cursed baby, and he doesn't even want to see the child. Tells his wife, you live with that child on the other side of the house. I'm never going over there. This is a true story. So, his wife, being a good Catholic, heard about Father Diorio, which is in Worcester. And through some quite number of months and years of hassling, and I don't know what the numbers are, brings the child, which at that time I think is around 2 or 3 years old, to Worcester on her own, by herself, and says to the Lord, I want my baby healed. She knew Father Diorio, and he said, you bring the baby to the service, and we will pray. After I don't know how many times that she remained, but she stayed, and she went quite a few services, every symptom of that child disappeared, including the fingerprints, the handprints, the deformed areas of the body. Everything disappeared. That is on record. Okay? You say, why are you telling me this? Because I don't want you to limit your possibilities. I don't want you to limit what you've got. I don't want you to look at an issue that you think you can't change. Because everything about you can be changed, including your heart. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is, here comes this mother, goes back home to Chicago, and the father is still on a guilt trip, self-condemnation, because he believes the lie the enemy told him, that if he had become a priest, that baby would not be mongoloid. So, you see, the enemy had a plan, but God had a better plan.
Amen.
So the baby comes back, and now the baby, by the way, is a graduate from some college. Why? Because somebody didn't give up. When the Holy Spirit said to me, because that prayer group lasted for many years, in 92, I went away for 3 days by myself, northern Vermont, to a pastor and his wife, who I had known for a number of years. I called them up, they had a bed and bath. I stayed for 3 days, and the Lord instructed me, and I wrote down what he wanted. He told me that I was to leave the prayer group. My time was done. And he told me to leave on April 26th. I knew the day. So when I announced to these people that I was leaving the prayer group, they argued with me, they fought with me, they screamed, they yelled, you can't be, it can't be God, you can't. I said, listen, I know that I know, it's all done. I'm all done, I'm just finished. I don't know what's next, but I know I'm all done. I had been working at Grace Church for quite a while, and I didn't know what was next, but I knew that section was finished. I didn't get fired, but I did leave. Then he said to me, your days with Catholicism are coming to an end. And I wanted to know when, because I'm nosy. But he wouldn't tell me. It's not something I normally share, but I have a sense that somebody needs to hear this. You need to come out of where you are, emotionally and mentally, and let him be the Lord for a change. And I mean those words. You need to let him be the Lord for a change of pace, a change of mentality, a change of the way you think.
That's right.
Okay? And let him start downloading some information to you for a change. And I mean that, for a change. Because when he starts giving you instructions and you write them down, I'm serious when I say this to you. Because if you don't write him down, the enemy will come and he'll twist one word. And once that word is twisted, you're done for. Amen. He comes to steal, to kill, and to
destroy.
Why? Because he's looking to destroy you and me. Okay? And why is he looking to destroy us? Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. And it's not to be like her or him or whoever. Yeah, I've been talking to you, so. So what I'm saying is this. You see, you would never believe who he used to get me out of the Roman church. I had been baptized at Grace, and somebody reported it to one of the officials at St. Anne's Church. So every Sunday morning we did the worship team, did the mass, we did a folk mass every single Sunday morning. I had a whole crew. And the priest said to me after the mass, Kim, could you come to the rectory after? And so I went over and he says, is it true that you were baptized at Grace Church of Christ? I says, of course. Well, he says, I've got instructions from the bishop that you're going to have to renounce that baptism because you will be excommunicated. I said, well, I think he has a problem. She says, you know, wait a minute. I just told you you're going to be excommunicated, Kim. You need to go to the bishop. I'll go with you. And you can apologize and cancel what you just did. And I said, well, you know, Father Levesque, if it was you that had told me this and told me that I should not be baptized, I might have listened. But your relationship didn't give you instructions to tell me ahead of time to prevent me from something that was supposedly deadly. I said, did you hear from the Lord? He said, no. I said, that's your problem. I told him, point blank, that's your problem. I heard from the Lord, and I'm not renouncing what I've just done. What I did is I went down just like Jesus into the water, and like John the Baptist, somebody put me under, and I came out a new creation, and I'm not going back to the old.
Amen.
And I walked out. I did say to him, before I left the room, I said, I want to thank you for being a true diplomat to those that you believe are your leaders. And I says, I respect you. I respect what you've done. But I'm expecting you to respect my conscience.
Absolutely. Amen.
And that's where we're at. So I did obey. But, you know, there was a price to pay. There was a price to pay.
There always is.
I paid the price. Day in and day out. Week in and week out. Year in and year out. And you know, would I want this to be different? Or would I want it to see the way that I was treated different? I would never be who I am today if I was treated with some perception of fairness. You see, it was persecution where I needed it. It was pressure tactics against my spirit, soul, and body. It was rejection of the highest order. And I had to make a decision. Who was I going to serve? Who was I going to obey? Who would answer for me if there was someone that should answer for me? It would not be my wife. It would not be the Catholic priest or the bishop. It would be the Lord. Because he's the only one that knew what I had heard. He's the only one that had told me, now's the time to get baptized. Because you see, I wanted to be baptized a few years before, where I was going to just sneak in, be baptized at BTL. Nobody would know except Irene and I, and everything would be cool. But no, he had me humble myself and go before the whole church, who all thought that I had already been baptized. Well, I was baptized as a baby, but you know what? I didn't give my permission. Oops. They told me I was baptized and they gave me a piece of paper when I grew up. But you see, religion is designed to do what? Anybody know what religion is designed for?
Be the law.
Huh?
Be the law.
Be the law and control. Well, I don't think they intend to blind you from the truth, but they believe, you know, what is going on. And when I shared with you about Bonnie Jones, in her dream, which I showed you earlier before, she saw a cobweb, and she saw the cause of the cobweb and threw it down to the floor, and she put her foot on it. And she says, I squished it, and then it changed. And it was no longer what it was originally. She didn't give it a title. She says, just, you know, it was ugly. It transferred into some kind of a lizard. So she put her foot on the lizard, and that continued to transform until now. She's got her foot on what looks like a man. And she's pushing. And the man started to speak. And it was a spirit. A demonic spirit of control. And his name is denomination. So what am I saying to you? God knew about that. Back in the early 90s for me. And he wanted me out. Why? Because he wants you and me to be free men and women to serve the Most High God into the best of the abilities that he's prepared for us and deposited in us as seeds. And they will only grow when we say, yes, I will. They won't grow, they will not be watered when you're sitting down by yourself thinking your way into heaven. Thinking your way into heaven. Now I know I'm preaching to you because you see, thinking is what the denominations tell you to do. That's how they control. They give you the alternates. And that's what the leaders of the Jewish faith confronted Jesus with. You call yourself the Messiah? Look what you're doing. You're bringing in harlots. You're bringing in broken men and women. We don't want any of those in our place. I mean, we're holy. We wash our hands 3 times a day. We do all these things ritualistically and correctly. And you're bringing in these horrible people? Just close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit. A lot of this is for me to take a good look at me. It's not about the neighbor.
It's about me.
If I've committed to do
your perfect will for me,
then I need a download.
I need to hear.
And get clear instructions. And be serious enough to write it down.
So that when I see what's written
in my book,
coming from your book,
by revelation of the Holy Ghost, then I can walk on it and carry it out until the fullness is manifest. I give you praise, my Lord.
I give you praise,
my Lord. It's not lip service I'm giving you.
I am believing
that I'm on a journey,
and it's going to go much greater
and much higher
than I've ever been before.
We are in a new era, and we're going to be
everything God has called us to be.
And I'm not supposed to be my neighbor's teacher.
I am commissioned by God
to be my neighbor's lover
and to love
without condition.
To love
those that are more broken than me.
And lift them up.
And let them see
the possibilities
that God has for each.
Including me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. In you will I trust.
And so faith, verse 13. That's easy, right? 1 Corinthians 13:13.
So faith, hope, love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief, respecting man's relations to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectations for God and man, grow out of God's love for in us.
Did you hear that? Love's true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So again, we're talking about faith, we're talking about hope, and we're talking about love and how it abides. 14:1, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment, especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. That's your goal. That is, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Oh, wait a minute. This is a little heavy, Kim. It's meant to be. Again, we're going to back it up. 13:13. So faith, hope, and love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief, respecting man's relationship to God. I added a ship over there. And divine things, hope, joyful, and confident expectations of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man. And man, that includes the one you don't like. That includes the one that mistreated you. That includes the one that insulted you. Growing out of God's love for and in us. See, if you don't have the in us with a circle, it's time that you put one there. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. That is my job. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment, especially that you may prophesy. That is, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. I want to park there for a minute. When the Holy Spirit decides to kick you up a notch, if you're like me, your first step is going to be a wee bit shaky in the knees department, and you're going to be afraid. Well, I never did this before. Well, you got to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision and do it afraid, which I know some of you know all that and how it works. See, doing something afraid means that you have to push it beneath your feet. You have to make the decision that God has a plan for you. And if He's instructed you to do something, you can ask for help. And if you don't ask for help, you're going to be on your own. But if you ask for help and a willingness, you know, I remember one particular time He told me to do something, and I said, Lord, I don't have it in me. He said, well, why don't you ask for a creative miracle? I said, for me? He said, why not? So I said, create the desire in me because I haven't got it. Well, that's kind of pushing God too far. He's got so many things He could, you know, He's got nations to take care of. I've got news for you. Holy Spirit's living inside of me.
Amen.
Okay? And there's nothing too small, too insignificant that He can't hear me. Oh, again, close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
My willingness.
My willingness.
usually depends on my emotions. And the emotions usually win. I ask for forgiveness. By going with what I understand. And trust what I already know. It's time for me to walk on water. And right now, create the desire for me to walk on water. Literally, let me have the courage created by you, Holy Spirit, to step out of the boat. Just like Peter did. And I'm sure they try to hold on to him. And say, don't you dare, you're going to sink, dummy. But he didn't sink until he doubted.
Right.
Say, I confess my doubts, Lord. They are really seeds of fear. And I confess them as sin. Because you don't want me to be timid. You gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And that's what I'm going with. Fear and doubt are not allowed. Canceled now by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not going to be pitied. If I do fall, I'll cry out just like Peter. Help! What a prayer. Holy Spirit, come now. Comfort these that have been broken. Holy Spirit, just impact their hearts right now. Father, do a work deep inside where they've been afraid, where they've doubted, they've wondered, they've questioned. Let there be a space of grace right now so they can say yes to your plan. So they can say yes to what you want done. So they can make the decision that you will supply the grace and favor as they put each foot forward one at a time. And as they begin to sink, there will be someone that will help them back up. And that someone could be me or you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Blow the latter rain into this room right now. Blow that latter rain into this room. That's what you said you would do there. More, Lord. More. More rain now. More rain now, Lord. More rain. The latter rain was designed to give us grace and favor in every level. Spirit, soul, and body. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. More grace. Take a deep breath. Way down deep now. Because the anointing is hitting you and you can feel it on your head. I know you can. I know the angels of the Father are ministering to you even as I speak. Come on. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place. In this place. And my soul does. And my soul does burn within me. Burn within me. I feel Jesus in this place. I see Father. I see Father. I see Father. I see Father on your face, on your face, and my soul does burn within me, burn within me.
on each face. On each face. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Come and rule in this soul does burn within me, burn within me. Holy Spirit. Some of you have got pain in your body and you need to lay your hand on the place where it hurts. Do it right now. Do it right now. You don't need to look. Just do it. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We shout grace, grace, grace to the mountain of human obstacles. We shout grace, grace, grace to the mountain of human obstacles. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise for the freedom. We give you praise for the freedom. We give you praise for the freedom. We give you praise for the freedom that you pay for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Deep breath, way down deep, and let it go. Elia me, Elia me.
Amen.